If you're a fan of professional sports, high-level college sports, number of observations you make, and that has to do with which kinds of athletes excel. You know, I've contended that there seems to be a sweet spot for those that are bright enough to, in the heat of the moment, make the best possible decisions on the court or on the field, to be able to respond under intense pressure and to do it in an intelligent way. It also seems, though, that being too intellectual can actually be a significant hindrance for someone in their athletic performance. Well, now that we have functional MRI and brain imaging, we're getting a much better handle on how athletes' brains differ from those of the rest of us. Joining us to talk about some of these interesting details of the athlete's brain is John Krakauer, professor of neurology at Johns Hopkins University in Maryland. Professor, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So let's talk first of all about what we actually see in athletes' brains. What's going on during competition that gives us a sense of what goes on differently in their brains?
Well, I mean, I'm afraid I have to tell you that we don't have those kinds of data. I mean, you can't image an athlete's brain while they're engaging in their sport of choice, right? I mean, MRI machines, you have to lie down and keep still. So I can't really tell you what's going on in their brains while they're playing their games, because we can't do that.
Even with brain waves, you can do some things there, right?
I mean, I think one can, from behavioral studies, from genetic studies, from structural studies, and from doing certain kinds of imaging in more limited tasks, see differences in activation. That's true. But I think it's very important right from the get-go to be very clear that we don't know right now if there are huge differences in the way the brain activates in athletes compared to, non-athletes. But there are imaging studies. I will say that there are imaging studies in athletes and musicians where they do tend to activate their brains either a bit more in certain areas or a little less in certain areas compared to non-athletes doing particular tasks.
One of the things I find fascinating as a sports fan is seeing how what appears to be unconscious, quick response, making a judgment, sorting through all information, and making a play that otherwise you would have thought wouldn't be possible, that coordinating all that information would happen. How is it athletes are able to do that so quickly?
Okay, so there are two parts to that question. I mean, the first question is, why does practice make anyone better at anything, right? So in other words, there are two kinds of questions one has to address. Why is it that when you practice a lot at something, you get better at it? And there's a lot of work being done by scientists around the world trying to understand why, when you do something a lot and practice it a lot, that you get better at it. That's true of all of us. And then you can say, okay, what's special about athletes? Well, what athletes have done is practiced at one thing far more than we've ever practiced anything. So athletes, and there's this rule that they do, or anyone who becomes expert at anything, practices for 10,000 hours at a particular thing. Most of us could never accumulate that much focused practice. And then the question is, what is it that practice allows them to do? And, you know, what we've written about, along with my colleague Keelan, who I think is there, is that they become really good at recognizing earlier than we do particular cues, either the players or the ball, which allows them to make a decision that is both quicker and more correct for the given context that they find themselves in. So you're absolutely right that there are a lot of data now suggesting that athletes can extract the necessary information more quickly and then look up the right thing to do in that short time interval and make the right decision, all of which seems to be fairly automatic because they spent so much time practicing.
John Krakauer, neurologist at Johns Hopkins University, with us on Air Talk, as is Keelan Yarrow, lecturer in psychology at City University London. He does research with Professor Krakauer into athletes' brains. Dr. Yarrow, it's good to have you with us as well.
It's great to be here.
Is this intelligence? I mean, in the same way that we think of intelligence, what Dr. Krakauer just described?
It's a kind of intelligence, certainly. I mean, I think you can probably think of all kinds of intelligence in terms of the development of very specialized skills. And what athletes do is they develop very specialized skills, as John was saying, in order to deal with their specific kind of situation. So it's a kind of intelligence, certainly, yes.
And are there things that those of us who aren't high-level performing athletes can take to benefit what we do? Or if it requires this 10,000-hour threshold of practice, is that really the only way to get from here to there?
If we're talking about getting from here to where a real elite athlete is, then the answer is probably that is the only way to get there. And it's not just about, it's not just 10,000 hours of practice, it's 10,000 hours of quite uncomfortable, difficult practice. I mean, one of the things that athletes do is they practice in a way that is maybe different from the way you or I practice when we go and play sports. We go and do it for fun, and we don't focus in on the hard skills. We don't re-examine what we're doing and constantly look for weaknesses in what we're doing. There's practice and there's practice.
We're talking with Keelan Yarrow and John Krakauer, researchers looking into how athletes use their brains as they're performing and what about their brain activity is different, more advanced clearly than the rest of us in a number of ways. If you have questions for our guests, we're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or comment or ask a question on the Air Talk page at kpcc.org. Keelan Yarrow, is it possible to be too intellectually engaged when you compete? Does part of the brain have to shut off to do one's best?
The answer to that is probably yes. So there's lots of examples in sports where athletes seem to sort of freeze up and underperform, even very, very elite athletes. And one of the explanations that's being put forward for that is that they may be focusing again on what their bodies are doing, their kind of motor skills, which is something that, generally speaking, they no longer do. So if you imagine learning to drive your car, at first you have to think about all the different component parts to that skill. Maybe you have to think about what you're doing with your gear shift while you're pressing the clutch, all those kind of skills. They're very complicated, but over time they become quite automatic. And it's quite possible that once we've made something automatic, by re-examining it at the time we're doing it, we can actually undermine our own performance.
So is that then one of the reasons why it seems when you look at the very highest level athletes, it's clear that they're bright and they're able to take a lot of information in as they're competing, but that they're not typically highly intellectual, that there's some barrier for someone who's at a very high intellectual level from being a very top level athlete?
I wouldn't have said that, no. I think it's more about focus and simply about whether you're able to let your body get on with what it should be doing, which is really a psychological skill, or whether the situation kind of becomes too much for you. Now, I don't think I wouldn't have said there's any reason why an athlete can't be also a very intellectual kind of person, or vice versa. It's just about managing your skills in those very high-pressured situations.
And certainly there are athletes who are Rhodes Scholars and reach the highest levels in academe and things like that. John Krakauer, your thoughts on that?
Yes, I mean, I think it's extremely important to dispel the myth of the dumb jock right away. In other words, the idea that you might wrongly overthink your next shot as you're about to serve for match point at Wimbledon, you know, absolutely, you begin to think too much about your arm and the ball, and you may well at that point interfere with your perfectly able or more automatic processes. But that's certainly completely orthogonal or quite distinct from saying that a very intellectual, bookish, nerdy type could not be very good at sport. And the only reason why you may sometimes see a difference between the person in college who's playing all the sports and the person who's getting all the academic prizes is precisely because you can't accumulate 10,000 hours in both those areas necessarily. So you have to choose what you're going to practice and become really good at.
You know, there certainly is, though, among many of the decision makers in sports, this attitude that being too bright is a problem. Brian Billick, the former head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, who's a pretty bright guy himself, said, if you want to create hesitation in a guy, make him think. Guys who can't help but think, it can be a problem on the field. So whether it's a myth or not, I know this is something that still, among many in professional sports, is an idea that's
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit like the idea of streaks when people people think, oh my God, you're on a winning streak, or you're getting all the three throws in. It's actually statistically incorrect as well. So I think that there are many of these sort of myths out there. And it's definitely true that if you overthink, you can choke in clutch situations, like Keelan said. That's true. But there's no data to suggest that if you're very intellectual, you're more likely to overthink in a clutch situation. I mean, those two things should be kept separate.
All right. Thank you so much, John Krakauer, professor of neurology at Johns Hopkins, Keelan Yarrow at City University in London, both of them neuro researchers looking into the brains of high-level elite athletes.